Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Oh, it's a goal. Who got the assist? Who got the assist?
Hello, everyone. So I'm back with you quickly at the end of game week 33 for what will be the first of two short monologues by me before normal service resumes after game week 35-ish. You all know I love a portmanteau, so I'll call these Tomologues for the time being. We are Who Got the Assist, or in this case, I am. You can find me on Twitter at WGTA_FPL and my usual co-host Lucy at Lucy Hynett with two T's. Today's just a couple of updates in terms of how I've gotten on, a few bits and pieces about what's going on in the future, and then through Twitter questions. I'm sure there'll be a digression in or two in there, you know, as things dawn on me. Recording on the evening of 27th of April, the Spurs United game is still going on in the background, but I haven't got any players in it, so just kind of waiting to be smashed even further, really. I'm stealing out for a minute, basically, when my daughter's down for a sleep. So yeah, I've got probably about half an hour just to get through this one. As a game week update very quickly, I ended up with 61, so just unfortunately below the safety score. I think that's my fourth red arrow in a row, down to about 13, probably 14K now. So I've just seen that Kane's got another assist, which obviously isn't great. Basically, just not getting Rashford this week. I'd never considered it, as you guys heard last week, but just not getting Rashford this week has kind of buried me a little bit. A few sort of bright spots, really, being the playing Raya over Mr. Kepa. That was all right. Trent got an assist. Solanke got an assist, and Haaland got points. That's basically it. I guess kind of the main question I had last week, really, when it came down to it, I didn't reconsider it, but it was Raya versus Kepa, and I did play Raya in the end. And I did see that there were some who presumably fielded Kepa who were squawking blue murder about this, about kind of people playing Raya over Kepa. And you know, I did see that, you know, the clean sheet odds of Kepa would comfortably get that sort of clean sheet, or should keep the clean sheet. And he didn't see, indeed, concede, you know, one own goal and one actual shot or something like that. So it was seen, I guess, by some as a high variance event and a bit lucky. It always is, I guess, a bit lucky with clean sheets. We've seen kind of some bad luck tonight with Newcastle, who I had two defenders from, losing their clean sheet direct from corner. But I thought, you know, some of the tonality, as usual, about the discourse around that annoyed me a little bit. Because I guess to me, it shows how sometimes the binary of, you know, you must trust empirical data sources like this. And if you don't, you're somehow a bit stupid, a bit simple, just lucky. You know, that kind of struck me as being a tad patronizing. I felt like it was a bit of a false binary, I guess, as well, of the kind of right and wrong. But I was talking to Sam, FPL Pricey, about this pre-game week deadline in terms of choosing the keeper. And it was a case of really backing against Lampard's Chelsea and how Chelsea in general have failed to convert their chances this year. I mean, no team is underperforming on their XG as much as Chelsea are season long. And from watching them, it wasn't a massive leap to apply some intuition and think Kepa may well face, Raya may well face a lot of poor quality shots from which he could rack up the save points, which he did. And we've seen that he tends to also accrue bonus as well for making those saves, which he did. And also things like that, pass completion too. Therefore, there was a logic behind choosing Raya, looking at his away performances recently. And he's literally now the highest scoring goalkeeper too. And I guess it kind of as usual, shows the performance of an integrative model. Like, it's great to have data, but it needs to be contextualized by their understanding. As a qualified researcher with over 10 years experience, so I need to remember that I am this because my paternity leave is over from next Tuesday. Quant is always best paired with qual. It's always good to have the eye test alongside the data. Yeah, you can have the bookies odds and you can kind of hang your hat on those, but sometimes it is quite good to kind of look at the other side of things too and open your mind to that sort of more kind of nuanced understanding of the human side of things, as well as just kind of the cold hard numbers. I mean, some may say, you know, there's a sample size thing and the bookies look at the sample size over a long time, but football's dynamic and changing. A lot of the sample size that the book should be looking at, for example, wouldn't have a manager as rubbish as Lampard in charge at Chelsea, right? Football changes, grows and adjusts over time, and you know, so there are a lot smaller patches, I guess, that these things happen in football than most academic models would allow within their priors. And normally it's like a roll up of kind of 6 to 12 months worth of data. And this is, I guess, you know, thinking about FPL Review, for example. FPL Review itself implicitly acknowledges this. Like, a lot of the exponents say, hey, you know what? You know, this data, you need a long tail on this data in order to make sense of things. But the model does update over time. It updates to the template. The model is incredibly template friendly, right? So it's such a false bottomed argument that you can't assess things over a 6 to 10 week period, or like a period from the restart to now. Sure, it's noisy and you have to kind of build a caveated understanding of things, but that's absolutely fine. I'm not saying you do one or the other. It's always about nuance and somewhere inside the messy middle. But there's nothing inherently wrong with using all sorts of different sources to contextualize decisions, which is all we're doing anyway, really, with any information point we use. So, I mean, yeah, that's just one thing that kind of I saw this week, and I just got facepalmed. I just couldn't bother to even respond, as with both things on FPL Twitter these days. See old pods ad nauseam. It was kind of a bit of a disappointing week, I suppose, overall. The double Desmond, the 2-2-2-2 from Salah, Saka, McAllister and Matoma in midfield particularly was a bit annoying, and I really need that Newcastle clean sheet tonight to scrape a green arrow, and that not coming in obviously meant that I was consigned to a little bit of a red one. In terms of the market forces, Rashford, 165,000 transfers in for Rashford. I'll be one of those people buying him in probably tomorrow. Kevin De Bruyne, 117,000 transfers in for him at time of recording. I've already bought him. Stones, over 100,000 transfers in for him. Diogo Jota, interesting one. He was subbed, I think, in the 58th minute, was something like that, or 59th maybe. Something to the pop. Does a podcast about that. I don't know who that is. 91,000 chances out in for him. And Grealish, 88,000 chances in for Grealish. Got 1 point this week, didn't he? Got a yellow card too. Turn transfers out. Bukayo Saka. Who would sell him? Oh, wait, I've done that. I'll explain why in a minute. 150,000 people have sold Saka. 125,000 people have sold Kane. He's just gotten two returns. 100,000 people have sold Watkins. I'm likely to be joining them. 82,000 have sold Martinelli. And 71,000 have sold Odegaard. So people all gearing up for double game week 34. I'm going to leave the mini league just for now, just because it's not going to be updated in time. And you know, I've had to kind of come on a tiny bit early just due to type things in with my baby sleeping. So, I'm going to move on to Twitter questions now. The first one is kind of, what am I doing? I'll answer this through answering FPL Gill, who asks, or FPL Jill, who's got a Gillingham fan, who asks, is this a viable week to take multiple hits if you don't have free Man City, free Brighton, etc.? And Colm, he's got an Irish name, Stag once pronounced it properly. I'm not even going to try. Sorry, Colm. Who asks, you know, who should be sold for the double and what am I doing? Now, I'm not sure on the free City yet, but I think in accordance with the first question about is this the week to take multiple hits, the answer is a resounding yes. Yeah, you'll know this season that I've been stunningly risk averse given how I've been the last sort of 5 years. I've had zero interest a lot of the time in taking big hits. Notably, for the last big double game week in 29, I simply wasn't interested in hitting in doublers just for the sake of it. Those people on other kind of podcasts were saying, hey, you know what, you've got to go for it. It's double game week. I felt there was no sort of onward benefit from taking the hits on those occasions other than to kind of big up, bulk up that week. But double game week 34 is unique in some ways because you're buying in players from teams, Man City and Brighton as mentioned, who aren't kind of just for this week, but there are also options for later double game weeks, so 36 and 37. But there are doubles for those teams as well as those teams being team that those teams have something to quote unquote play for. Like Brighton, for example, looked tired after a long game in the semi-final against United. Yes, when they lost to Forest, but they still have a lot of fixtures to come. So it's not something that you're going to look at and think, oh, okay, well, I'm not going to be buying those players from those teams. And they're so affordable as well. But simply put, I guess you can take a hit this week for tangible long-term setups in your team. So I'm likely to be taking a -8, I think. And would I'd say if it suits you to do it, and this is probably the only time in the season that I've said that. But unlike 29, as I've mentioned, this week is one where the teams we fancy do have a goodish looking double and are probably worth being aggressive in terms of picking up. It's a case of picking a battle, as always in FPL. And this is a battle I guess I'd like to pick, if that makes sense. And in terms of what I'm doing, it's a case of trying to differentiate as much as I can from the obvious Twem play. I tweeted out the other day, but it's fairly obvious, I think, what that Twem play is, which is goalkeeper, Edison, De Gea, maybe most some people will be sticking with Raya, maybe some steals hanging around. At the back, Estupinian, Trent, Trippier, five across the midfield, Salah, Grealish, Rashford, two Brighton, take your pick from the three M's, and up front, Haaland and Isak. I think that that's literally going to be the team for loads and loads of engaged managers next week. And we've spoken at length about how the season has become incredibly formulaic. And, you know, it's for all the reasons we spoke about last week. And we have in pods past about this being a context of a low price season, you know, Brighton, Newcastle assets facilitate easy team composition, et cetera, et cetera. It's incredibly predictable. Am I going to go for that team? Well, I've already kind of spoiled it, but no, I'm not. I will have a lot of these players for the most part. So I've already got Trent and Trippier. I've got Salah. I will be buying Rashford back. I can't not buy Rashford back. I mean, that's just suicide. I've got two Brighton in place. I'll have Haaland, obviously. I mean, these are all kind of obvious picks, but there are a few up for grabs. The first one, so Grealish, I won't have. I've bought KDB. This answers Eurodan's question about taking a spin on Pep's roulette wheel. It's a bit risky, I know. I got him when I kind of was woken up for a nappy change last night. But I saw that Saka was dropping, and it would have meant that I'd be kind of cutting it really fine in game week 36 when I was picking up Isak for the potential captaincy that week, although he didn't start tonight. So anyway, in the interview after the game with NBC, he was talking about preparing for Fulham in 3 days' time. So hopefully he's all right. I know that Pep said he had a niggle, but you know, I had to do it last night just to form my own plans, basically. I bought him for Saka. And I need to acknowledge I said last week I'd be keeping Saka. But unfortunately, he's become a bit of a fool guy, basically, because I can buy KDB and I can buy Rashford if I sold Saka. It's just one of those that, unfortunately, I've had to do. And plus, you know, from an Arsenal point of view, it's quite nice to be able to watch my team and not have to worry about FPL outcomes about them anymore. But obviously, buying De Bruyne is a huge team value flex, and most people won't be able to afford him, Salah, Trent and Haaland like I can. But I felt like he'd be a good differential over Grealish, and I'm just kind of hoping he's fit, basically. Either Grealish or he is fine, of course, but I think I'm going to try to kind of slight differentiate there. And answering CNG's question on the optimal City trio, one option I've been looking into, so I said that most people are going to probably have Estupinian. I don't know what I'm going to do with that slot yet. I'm looking at maybe backing City's defence over Brighton through Diaz, rather than buying back Estupinian or going Dunk. I would be leaning Dunk, I think, if I was to get a Brighton defender, which I'll come back to later on. Estupinian was a skull against me for this week, so Brighton defence is probably the EO cover move, but I'm intrigued by Diaz, which is probably a sign of how boring I am nowadays, that a centre-back intrigues me, but there you go. It's just an X-Men's play, really. City had the best defence in terms of the data. Neither he or Edison, I think, constitute the optimal City trio alongside KDB and Haaland. I like the fact that if I go with Diaz, I can get Steele in 36 if he's still the starting goalkeeper for Brighton. I looked at a few kind of other sources on the City defence and Diaz in particular. In particular, a great piece by Alex, 4LEX underscore MCFC, I think his Twitter handle is. Sorry if I got that wrong, Alex. On all about FPL, I'll link that under the pod later. And he was pretty confident that Diaz was going to be playing the majority of the Premier League games. So in terms of the free city, kind of the best city trio, I mean, I think everyone would want KDB if he was the same price as Grealish, right? Even fitness questions aside, him, Haaland, and Diaz / Ederson, the steady Eddie at the back, that's probably the three. And I thought I'd just take the risk really with KDB. I might well go with Diaz over a Brighton defender, but I'm not sure at the moment. They do remain the best, the City defence. It's just that problem they have with lapses in concentration when the game is won, I'd say. Like letting in that one sort of pissy chance. And Newcastle did it tonight as well. And it is increasingly creeping in a little bit towards the back end of the season. So maybe it is the case that, like, I may just avoid making the defensive move altogether. And maybe, you know, it's hard to quantify in data, but maybe it is the case that teams are kind of just losing that kind of inch of focus, especially if they're kind of 3-4-0 up like City are likely to be in these games. So maybe it's not really worth doing, but we'll see. But basically, the contingent parts, the things I need to do, I've done Saka to KDB. To get Andreas to Rashford, I need to sell Watkins to Greenwood, which is a bit shitty, but I'm fine with doing that because at the end of the day, you can only have 7 players in your forward line, and I probably don't need Watkins for the time being. So, you know, famous last words, but he's probably going to come out. I have to acknowledge that KDB's been flagged, so I might need to take a beat if KDB's out or something. And it would be typical if he was sort of ruled out for a couple of weeks now. I've not made a move like this all season. So it would be typical if it sort of blows up in my face. So as I mentioned, I had to do it from the planning, and I'll obviously wear it if it goes wrong. So that leaves me with Raya, Trent, Trippier, Diaz or Dunk, Mitoma, Makadona, KDB, Rashford and Salah, Solanke and Haaland captain. My three single game week players would be therefore Raya at home to Nottingham Forest, Trippier at home to Southampton and Solanke at home to Leeds, which I'm fine with that. It moves me on nicely then to FPL Claret. Jimmy's question about single game week has been overlooked this week. Anyone that you kind of bring up for that one? Maybe Brentford versus Forest. FPL Maverick also asked about, you know, would you sell Tony this week? I don't think I would. I think he'd be a hard sell this week. I think apart from Haaland, you're probably okay in terms of double game week strikers. There's no one that really stands out to me. I'll speak about Jota, speak about Darwin in just a little bit. But I mean, yeah, they won last week. They won this week, sorry, Forest, and it was a morale boosting win. But they remain poor away, and I think the Brentfords are probably going to be too much for them. And Tony in particular would be a very difficult sell. I think he's escaped his ban now, hasn't he? In terms of if he gets any other cards. And the other one that I'd mentioned is Palace and West Ham. It's got the vibe of a game that's going to be a 3-3 out of nowhere and no one will own their players because of the doubles. I wouldn't be buying a Bowen, for example, or something like that. I mean, some people may have a Lise or Eze hanging around, but fair play. I carry them through. But other than that, you know, it's just one of those games I think you just have to just let pass you by and just kind of be like, oh, well, you know, it's a 3-3, it's a 4-4. But hey, who cares? It's just good to watch a match of the day. And Bournemouth Leeds, I guess, as well. That'll be a fairly huge game, more so for Leeds. I'm happy to own Solanke. Still putting up the numbers. Got an assist again tonight. I've probably got another assist as well if I wasn't offside for the first goal. But again, I'm not sure I'd be buying in. And Bournemouth's fixture is different from there. So yeah, probably just Tony, actually, to be honest, Jimmy. That's the only one I'd really be thinking of. Cool. All right, next question. Joshua Big says, if hypothetically you hated yourself and didn't want to do well, who could you catch instead of Haaland? And also, should I -4 a City defender in for Ake? Now, I can't see why you wouldn't captain Haaland here. It's just being a glutton for punishment, Joshua. Maybe I go with Salah for the two home games if you wanted. No, so he's my vice this week. I mean, you could go there. It's just one of those where I look at it and think, I mean, I'm not sure about the motivations on that one, I'm afraid. Should you take a hit to remove Ake for another defender? Well, if he's ruled out, a huge question mark, then sure. I mean, I'm probably going to be taking a hit for a defender this week. But it obviously depends on the rest of your team as per. But you know, just treat him as a dead asset if he's out and you haven't got another player in the wings that you can compensate with. If you do have like a Botman or a Henry, Henry at home to Forest or Botman at home to Southampton, then you know, it's up to you whether you want to take that hit to remove that player remove Ake, sorry, and not play one of those players. It's all about opportunity cost, I guess. So it really depends on the rest of your team as per. Yeah, I've got to make that same sort of judgment later on. FPL Sisyphus asks if Jota is worth a look this week. So I'd always question about his minutes with Darwin Diaz now as well hanging out. You know the risk of an asset like that, and I'd probably be happy with Trent and Salah if you can just get those two. I'm aware some people are looking for an alternative to Salah due to team value reasons. So you could definitely go with a Darwin or a Jota and hope for the best, but like, you know the risks in these situations. That's kind of all I will say. You know what he can do, as evidenced by the brace the other week. But we also know what, you know, that he might well be hooked in the 58th minute. And all it might take is Darwin to show a bit of form in inverted commas. And suddenly Jota's the one who's on the outside looking in. It's one of those picks which is ideal for a free hit, which is what most people who did own him enjoyed. Is it a sort of player that you want to invest in full time? Probably not. It's more of a kind of a leverage trade sort of an individual for a short term punt rather than a player that you want to invest in for the longest term. And linked to that, Michael Lowe actually asked on the Lottery of X-Men's Doubts double game week forwards, a Jota or Darwin punts, Martial, Alvarez. All of these players come with a health warning, Michael. And, you know, it is what it is, really. Martial was one that was being floated a little bit, but again, he's been a sub tonight, perpetual injury risk. And with all of these players, the risk is built into the price in a lot of ways. You might get one start out of them, and that might be all you're looking for, really. I will have a single game week on Solanke, so maybe you're looking at kind of, you know, one start and one bench appearance. And given the teams that they play for, they could well get something in those minutes. So it's not the worst sort of pickup, I guess, in the world. Would I be taking a hit for this, that sort of player? Probably, almost definitely not, unless I had a really strong feeling about it. But I just kind of wonder more and more whether the forwards, apart from Haaland and probably Isak or Wilson, is going to be worthwhile as we reach kind of the run-in end of the season. Kieran Farja, is Salah to KDB on, and how do we navigate the situation with Bryce and assets, doubles, but hard games on paper? Like, Salah to KDB feels a no to me. Yes, he blanked this week, but three home games in a row for Liverpool. That's only one to do if you really fancy it, Kieran. I also probably would, you know, maybe look at Salah to KDB later on down the line. So maybe for the double game week in 37. I mean, maybe that'll be when I buy. No, so maybe one for a little bit later. But hey, there we go. Brighton Wise, and also answering FPL Kudos' question on if Estupinian is a bit of a trap. Just to expand why I'm kind of throwing a Diaz over a Dunker Estupinian is that I just don't rate the Seagulls as fixtures defensively. I think most will own one, and you definitely keep them, obviously. But it's obviously more of a question for me who doesn't own one. Like, most have two midfield assets, for example. And there's the likes of Enciso and Ferguson you may also consider. But if you're from the outside looking in and looking to buy one at the moment, the fixtures and doubles aren't that fantastic overall. So you've got, I think it's Wolves the next double game week, and I think there's Saints in game week 37. Those are the only two sort of fixtures that scream decent cleaning chance. The rest of them don't look particularly amazing. So that's kind of making me think I leave Brighton for now, and then come back to them in 36. We're potentially buying Steele if he's still the starting goalkeeper. And that could be a nice way of covering them. Even that kind of double game week in 36, I think, is Arsenal and Newcastle away. So that's not a great double again. In terms of the two, so Dunk and Estupinian, if you're like me and thinking about them, I think Dunk is a slightly better option than Estupinian, simply because of expected minutes, which is super boring. But we saw it last night with Estupinian being taken off and March being positioned back in his old role at left back, which meant that, you know, it means that there are options for De Zerbi. And that, coupled with him being taken off at half-time for a poor performance in the Cup recently, means I've got a slight bit of doubt about Estupinian. That's purely subjective, of course. In reality, I'm pretty sure he starts the rest of the games, but I still think if I was brightening, I'd just go with Dunk, because you know he starts and plays every game, pretty much every minute. And that's kind of what you're looking for at this point, especially if one, their team's kind of in the red zone in terms of fatigue, and two, has this huge sort of fixture pile up that you want the consistency of an individual, and that would probably be Dunk. That's kind of why I'm thinking, do I really want this at the moment, or should I just leave it until later on? And hey, go in for the City Wheel of Rotation. Yeah, I don't know. Kudos also asked if you play Trippier over Brighton defender this week. I don't know is the answer. It's one that's quite difficult to get into the mindset of. I'm benching Botman for if I do buy a new player, I'd probably bench Botman for that. But I think that's kind of super close, really. And you must have a really strong team if you're in that position. So I envy you. As I said, I think the Wolves game is this in terms of 34 is likely to be a clean sheet. I don't think the United game would be. So you're looking at kind of 8 points for Brighton, something like that, as a kind of a best guess. In terms of a defender versus Trippier, who's got that kind of still got that assist potential, was on 9 points again before Newcastle conceded tonight. So, I mean, it's very much your call. I think that oddly Trippier, especially home Southampton, who are probably doomed now, sadly for Lucy. Yeah, I mean, why? I don't know. Yeah, I don't know. That's a very tough situation. Yeah, I'm sorry. I'm going to have to abdicate responsibility and just push it back onto you. It's down to your call. On trips, Morgan Simaristi asks if he should start a share over Trippier. I mean, he had a great goal chalked off marginally tonight. Trippier is definitely that sort of blind spot player, isn't he? That he's just owned by everybody. So he kind of is just a canceller, and it means you're playing with 10 men. Take out Haaland, actually, and you've got 9 men, you know, et cetera, et cetera. Like, if you want to go against him, be my guest. It's just because he could get 15 points or his EO so high. Etc. and so on and so on. Why isn't everyone's team? Okay, but Cher was not far away from scoring points tonight. So, hey, there we go. Dave CZ FBL, who's on a free hit and is wondering whether to go for X Mins or X Ceiling. So, definitely X Ceiling, I'd say, at this point, Dave. At this point in the season, unless you're trying to just consolidate him in league position or consolidate the OR, but what have you got to lose now, really? I'd be going bold and leaning into that as far as I could, especially if you chase him. Things like going against Trippier, as I've just mentioned, I'd do that in a heartbeat. All in, Dave. All bloody in, basically. And finally, just because I hear my daughter crying, so I've got very long. Sorry, I know it's been quite quick and quite fast-paced tonight, but I'm just trying to literally fit this in while I've got a little bit of time. Finally, Nathan asks, how can a depressed Arsenal fan cheer up? Well, I guess what I've been trying to do, Nathan, is trying to remember that while it was lovely and exciting to be there, we weren't expected to be there at the start of the season. You know, if you were offered second, you'd have taken it. You know, snapped their arm off. I think that's the phrase. I don't know why I'm losing. I'm even drinking. And I guess you'd kind of assume that City would run away with the title and we'd battled our way to second. Yes, the way it's happened hasn't been great. And, you know, there's a classic Arsenal choke. But as a long-term fan, I suppose, I'm not really surprised that something happened which appended our season. To me, as I mentioned the other week, that was Saliba's injury versus Sporting. That's just the nature of fandom, really. When it happened, I wasn't upset. I was kind of, I was expecting it anyway. And next year we go again. FPL-wise, selling all Arsenal assets so your FPL outcomes aren't dependent on them and you can pure watch us is also great. It's really stressful to have them intertwined, isn't it? So quite good to have that separation between church and state, as it were. Right, my daughter's crying, so I've got to go. Hopefully that was vaguely useful. Just to confirm, I'll probably be buying Rashford. Well, definitely buying Rashford, of course. One of Dunk or Diaz, maybe. And I'll be selling Watkins for Greenwood to make that work. And yeah, if KDB's injured tomorrow, I will put it down to a boo-boo, ignore the defender and just do the other transfers. And hey, just kind of hope that no one else realises. And I was Captain Haaland 100%. All right, good luck all. I'll be back next Thursday at the end of the double game week for another quick Tomalog. Hope I assisted you. Speak to you very soon and enjoy your weekend. See ya.
Oh, it's a goal. Who got the assist? Who got the assist?
Sports Social Podcast Network.